Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome back to Atlanta, where we're counting down to the Peach Bowl as the Nittany Lions will take on Ole Miss Saturday at noon. We're on beginning at 10:30. Jack Ham, Roger Corey, Bob Taylor, Brian Tripp will join me on the broadcast on Saturday, and looking forward to it very much. By the way, Penn State basketball tomorrow with Joe Putnam and Dick Girardi from the Jordan Center as the Nittany Lions take on Rider. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. So important. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult to handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Hey, start off 2024 with a new car. What the heck? It's incredible. All right. Penn State football did their walkthrough this morning. Walkthrough lasted about an hour and 10 minutes over at the Dome this morning. Ole Miss is going to go this afternoon inside the Dome. And then they have Fast Friday tomorrow. That's it. That'll be the last practice for the season. Then the game is on Saturday at noon, and we're on at 10:30. Don't forget Penn State basketball tomorrow. Shorter show tomorrow. We'll get rolling at the normal time, but then at the bottom of the hour at 1:30, Penn State and Rider at the Jordan Center with Joe Putnam and Dick Girardi on the call, as Joe will step in for me for that game. All right, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It may be chilly out, but you know what? Nothing like talking baseball on a cold day with Greg Murphy here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back to Atlanta. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best of new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Routine, difficult to handle it all, and they're looking for more technicians. They have more business than ever. And the pros. Hey, start 2024 with a new vehicle. And by the way, make sure the maintenance is done by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Yesterday, we began the show by talking baseball with Bob Nightingale, National View. Let's take it local now. Let's talk with Greg Murphy, talk a little bit about the Phillies. Hey, Greg, first of all, great to have you with us. I mean, let's talk about right out of the gate. What was the importance? Not just from a pitching point of view, but the emotional point of view for everybody that Aaron Nola's back.
Knew how important it was to the organization to try and get Aaron back. So I was just happy that both sides kind of were able to look across the table at one another, decide that they both wanted to be part of this organization and have him part of the organization and make a compromise. And that's the best way negotiations can work. And it's great to have him back in the fold.
And not only that, but it was how quickly it happened. There was no prolonged wait for this. And that tells me a lot about both sides and how committed they were to each other. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
I think you nailed it. I think that's exactly what happened. They both looked at each other and said, look, we both want this to happen. What's it going to take? Boom, 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 boom. They get to it, and it's a done deal. So, yeah, I do think it says a lot about Aaron and his family, and it says a lot about the Phillies organization as well.
All right, so now here's the next part. Last year, I think everybody felt going into it, if they could come up with a shortstop and move Bryson Stott over, well, that would really help, and they signed Trey Turner. What do you see as the short-term and long-term needs of the Phillies based on how it played out this year?
Well, I think, and you could probably say this about almost every organization in baseball, certainly a little more depth if the starting pitching situation would be great.
Yeah.
Whether or not they can find somebody else, whether or not it's Yamamoto or another free agent that's out there that they think can help. I mean, this Phillies starting staff is pretty darn good. It's one of the best in baseball. But as we saw, you can never have enough pitching depth. So if they could add someone in that role, I think that would go a long way. And honestly, you know, when it was all said and done, the biggest failure in the last, week of the season was their inability to get on base and score some runs. So maybe an on-base kind of guy they could insert in the lineup. The problem is, as you know, Steve, is there's not really a roster, well, not so much a roster spot, there's not really a position open to allow them to go out and, last year, shortstop was going to be open. So they went out and got what they believed was the best shortstop in all of baseball.
Right.
This year, every position is pretty much locked in and full. So there would have to be some kind of moves that would have went along with it. I don't think that's going to happen. It's certainly possible. Anything can happen. And Dave Dombrowski sees an opportunity to make the team better. And it involves the trade. I think he would pull the trigger in a heartbeat. But I think it's a lot more difficult this year to kind of fill that particular role just because there's no vacancy to be filled.
I think, you are who you are. I mean, Rojas is still the same player I saw when he played at Williamsport. All right? Still the same player. And that's not a knock, but it's just the way he plays. I almost feel like if they adapted a little bit to him, let him bunt a little bit, let him, use his speed a little bit, he could be that on base guy in the number nine hole if they limited the swings and misses.
I think that's a fair statement. Here's what I think we're going to see this spring training when we arrive down in Clearwater in February. I think we're going to see Johan Rojas bunting 1,000 times over the course of the spring.
Yeah.
And I'm not really exaggerating.
Right. They
need him to do that. And I don't think he was very good at it when he first came up to the big leagues. And for whatever reason, that was not part of his game, or at least not a part of his game that anyone was really focusing on. And if he's going to be a big league player and an everyday player, that is what he's going to need to do. So I think we're going to see them spend an awful lot of time trying to figure out how he can get on base. And because if he can get on base, he certainly can do what they need him to do. And I agree. It has to be part of his game, the kind of player that he is.
Because defensively, he is a gem. I mean, defensively, incredible what he does. I mean, it's not just the speed, it's the routes he takes. He understands how to play really good defense.
You just have to watch him once or twice to see that. And we saw that very quickly in Philly.
You talked about starting pitching, which was a great answer. Why is it, when we get to that five spot, that we see more bullpen games now and people aren't developing a fifth starter, even a fourth starter on some organizations? Why is that? Because they can eat up some innings, so you have a fresher bullpen. At least that's my thought. What's yours?
I'm in lockstep with you. The question is a great one. The answer is a head-scratcher. I don't know why they're not. In the world of load management and getting these guys and getting bullpens into games quicker and all of that, it has seemed to go by the wayside. The need for five quality starters to try and give you six, seven innings every night. And I do think we're seeing the results of that, late in the season. We're seeing guys burn out. We're seeing guys tired. And we're seeing bullpen games upon bullpen games. I mean, can you imagine 25 years ago, a bullpen game in the World Series? You couldn't even fathom it. And here we are. It's a regular thing now. Here's what I hope. I hope it's starting to come back the other way. I mean, as you know, as we were waiting to find out where Aaron Nola was going to be, every pundit, every baseball man, that woman that you spoke to said, well, the great thing about Aaron Nola is he gives you innings. He gives you innings. He constantly shows up every 5 days, and he gives you – Well, okay. Yeah, because he's trained his body that way. So perhaps it has to start in the minor leagues. It can't start in the big leagues. It has to start when these kids are 18, 19, 20 years old. And if there's an emphasis to get that back into baseball, it can happen. It might take a couple of years, but I'd like to think that smart organizations are thinking about that.
Yeah, Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz weren't missing a lot of starts. Ask yourself why. There's something that they were doing that needs to be. Now, obviously, they're exceptional athletes and well trained, but still. Now we've had an entire year with the rules. Right? So now we can at least evaluate. Nearly 200 games worth of between the playoffs, spring training, and so forth. About 200 games worth. What do you think?
For the most part, I like them. I think the pitch clock had its intended. The result was what was intended, and that was to make the games go quicker and be a little bit more interesting. I mean, for a guy that watches 162 a year, there were days in 2016 and 2017 and 2018 where you're like, oh my goodness, is this game ever going to end? And I'm a baseball guy. I love it.
Right.
But let's be honest, it was getting boring. And I think Major League Baseball, despite all the pushback they got from players, and they're still getting that, they saw a need and they did that. And I applaud them for that. I know it's not the purest form of the game with the clock. However, it's the same game that we watched when we were younger. So, to me, they didn't really change it. They just they're forcing it back to the way it used to be. So, I love that. The shift rule, I love. I thought it would have a bigger impact, to be quite honest. I thought left-handed hitters were going to see their batting averages jump 20, 25 points, but we didn't really see that. But what we did see is more action, more ground balls getting through, more base runners, that kind of thing. And in terms of the bases, and that one to me is kind of whatever. I'm sure someone out there could tell me that it had an effect somehow, some way, but I'm not exactly sure about that.
Yeah, so. I'm not sure either because I saw guys getting thrown out, and I also saw, I'm watching Arizona. 54 stolen bases, leads off with a broken bat single, doesn't move. Next game, leads off the game with an error to Turner, doesn't move. Like at some point, I thought you stole 54 bases.
Yeah, and that's because, a big part of that is because the Phillies still have a catcher that can throw base runners out.
JT.
And so if you have a JT Realmuto on your team, you kind of negate that, or at least you make them think a little bit more. So, again, develop catchers that, put some pride into playing defense the way JT Realmuto can, and maybe, you're able to curtail that running game in that regard. And that's the way the game's designed. That's the way it should be.
You have some players where my toe hurts and I'm out for 2 months. then you have Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
You're around him every day. In reality, how sore, not hurt, but how sore was he as the season went because he was still coming off something incredibly major? And how much better can he be next season because he will be almost a year and a half removed from it?
Yeah. Well, honestly, Steve, I'd be lying if I told you I have any direct knowledge, but much like you, I speculate and watch him go through his work each day and go about his business. And I think to myself, man, he's got to be hurting a little bit, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
just not natural to not feel the pain, but we didn't see it. And he certainly didn't talk about it, and he certainly didn't show it. And that's part, just a small part of what makes Bryce Harper so special. So the second part of your question, how much better can he be? To me, and the sky's the limit because he's a generational kind of talent that that has a work ethic, much like the greats of all time in any sport. And when you put all that kind of thing, all that together, you just never know how great they're going to be. He's already great, but can he do more? Wouldn't shock me. Wouldn't surprise me. And that's only good news for the Phillies.
Castellanos had a great run at one point. Then at the end, he slumped. What do they need from him on a consistent basis, especially when the money's on the line?
Yeah, I think much, Nick being one of the players that kind of suffered from that this year, probably as much as anybody on the field, they really need all of their guys to be more selective. Yeah. And I know it's so easy for me sitting in the booth to look down and say, well, why'd you swing at that pitch? Right?
Sure.
I wouldn't have even seen the pitch, and these guys are the best in the world, right? So I hate to knock them, but in the words of Dave Dombrowski, who is a lot better judge of what needs to happen, he says the same thing. They just need to relax a little bit and see the ball better than they were seeing it late in the season. And we saw each one of the guys kind of go through a spurt where they struggled. Knicks was late. And it cost the Phils. And, Kyle, no different. He's a guy that could swing and miss an awful lot. And Trey had his troubles early on. So, up and down the lineup, they're all such dynamic players. They all can hit for power. But if they have a knock, it's their inability to stop the chase. And that's really what they're going to have to focus on this year. And I know for a fact that is exactly what they're going to try and focus on this year.
I have not asked you about the bullpen yet. And a lot of teams that win normally get that. It may not be the career year, but it's at worst their second best year out of like three or four guys in the bullpen. It's either a career year or their second best. And that's why there's such great turnover in it. What's your confidence level in the Phillies bullpen and the depth of it moving forward based on the guys you see?
My confidence level is pretty high.
Yeah.
And I would agree with your premise, though. You kind of just never know with a bullpen. I mean, 2 years ago we watched Sir Anthony kind of dominate almost any time he took the mound. And then last year he certainly did not. Do I think Sir Anthony Domínguez can bounce back and be a dominant reliever again? Absolutely. He certainly has the stuff. So,
That's right.
If they get another year out of Sir Anthony that we've seen in the past, they're going to be better in that regard. Alvarado is another example of a guy that, was hit and miss when he was in Tampa and has been, pretty darn good here in Philadelphia.
No doubt. The
bullpen piece, you just hope that you get guys having career type years in the bullpen. And I know, again, Dombrowski's thought process with the bullpen and how important he believes it to be, and we've seen that since he's taken over, just how much better that bullpen has gotten. He has a knack for keeping a bullpen strong. So I think he'll make some tweaks back there. They've got a lot of young, hard-throwing, talented guys back there. In fact, they have a plethora of them. They have probably more than they need in the system. So that's what you want, because if one guy's not going, you can switch him out, bring someone else in, and hope that he gets going. So my confidence level is pretty high that the Phillies bullpen will be among the National League's best once again.
Well, my confidence level is pretty high. You're always going to give us great talk, the things to discuss, so I always appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. Won't be too long.
It won't be too long, although I was out there with a huge parka on yesterday, so so I hope it gets here sooner.
True.
And I was in Orlando last week, so what the heck?
Okay. Oh, geez. Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Hopefully come February, it's a little bit more temperate down there, and we'll be ready to go.
Greg, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciate you and all the great work you do.
Well, thanks, Dave. Always good to talk to you. Anytime.
The outstanding Greg Murphy. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Start 2024 with a new car. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Handles it all. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15. Almost worth it online at sunburymotors.com. Donnie Collins, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to Atlanta. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine, difficult, great technicians. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We are in different hotels, but we're both in Atlanta. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Hello, Donnie.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, it's another slow time of the year. Not much going on. We're obviously playing the waiting game. You know, we'll see what the next 24 hours bring with Manny Diaz. What's been just, I mean, look, he's going to be a hot commodity. So, I mean, that part was not a surprise. Donnie?
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's
you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry about that. But it's been such a slow time of year that I fell asleep there for a second. It's with Manny. It's you go into the off season knowing that somebody's going to want him, and it's just a matter of, is the job going to be one that he, number one, wants to be at for a while, or who thinks that can get him to a level where he wants to be at as a head coach, wherever that may be. And, you know, it's not surprising. As soon as Duke, you know, when Mike Elko goes to Texas A&M, you knew that's an opening that kind of made some sense for him. It's in North Carolina, in the ACC. You know, they're going to, he's got some connections there for sure. And it made some sense. So that was kind of one that was on the radar. For a couple of days now anyway, where Manny would make some sense. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, at this point, does he feel that staying at Penn State is better than being the head coach at Duke? And I don't know what the answer is ultimately going to be, but one way or the other, I mean, that's life as a big time coordinator. I mean, when you've had success, I mean, everybody wants you, everybody is going to be after you. And I think that's a good thing for Penn State. And I think Penn State thinks that's a good thing for Penn State to have these in-demand coordinators. And it's certainly, if he leaves, it'll set up a very interesting search for his replacement, because it's a little bit different. We kind of know what James Franklin likes to go after on the offensive coordinator front, because he's changed them quite a bit. But really, it's only been Manny outside of Brent Pry for 10 years, it seemed like, as the defensive coordinator, where he's only really made one outside hire since Bob Shoup was the defensive coordinator when he got to Penn State. So if there's going to be some mystery involved if Manny Diaz leaves as to how James Franklin's going to go about replacing him.
As players announce their decisions, and I feel like whenever somebody announces their decision, it's like everybody gets their own day to do it. The staff already knows who's staying and going. But the first one to say he was going and not going to play in the Peach Bowl was Chop Robinson. What was your thought on that?
That's not another one that if you're a Penn State fan, you're probably watching Chop and hoping he wants to play, but thinking that's not going to happen. But I was thinking this the other day, how good is Chop Robinson historically at Penn State? Because I think, you know, you look at his explosiveness off the edge, and he the way he played was really perfect for the system that Manny runs at Penn State. You know, he's constant pressure on the quarterback. He's able to line up in different spots. The Iowa game was a real clinic with that, with chopping that prowler package, lining up all over the place, over center, doing a really good job there, showing his versatility. But I think Chop's one of those guys who can do anything. He's clearly going to play in the NFL. He's clearly a top one or two round. I'm pretty much every analyst, and not that really matters, but when you have a consensus like that, it shows you what the industry thinks of him. And I think Chop at that point made the decision for himself that I think Penn State understands and Penn State fans should understand, because he had a really good 2-year run, and he's an NFL guy. And it's interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall in these discussions about who plays the bowl game or who doesn't, who leaves early and who doesn't, because you want to know what realistically goes into it. But there seems to be no, sometimes you do at other programs, especially you see guys who don't really have a realistic shot at going in the first or second round, kind of opting out just to, in hopes that they will get that chance. But I think Chop is one of those guys where you look at the body of work, and it was exemplary for two seasons, and now it's time to go.
Then there's Olu Fashanu. Olu, so far CBS, Sports Illustrated, The Athletic have come out with their All-American teams. He's first-team All-American on all of them to this point. Donnie, you go through 2 years. I mean, 2 years. He never gave up a sack. I mean, you watched it just like I did.
Yeah, I don't know if and I'm certainly not an NFL GM or a scouting guy or whatever, and I certainly don't have the number one pick in the draft. I don't work for the Bears, but I don't know how you.
There's going to be a lot of people not. There's going to be a lot of people not working for the Bears in about a month.
Yeah, I'm thankful I'm not working for the Bears, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm getting my affairs in order.
Yeah,
but yeah. Olu is. I don't remember a more dominant college football player. I really can't. Where he comes in, and the first time you saw him in that. It really got a good look at him in that Outback Bowl, and you thought, hey, where has this guy been? Why is this guy not playing for, he's a starter caliber right there. Sometimes it's obvious, and it's been obvious with Olu from the first day. And you go back and, you watch some games, and sometimes I just sit and watch Olu on offense, and it's fascinating because his guy, no matter what they threw at him, he stonewalled it. He was very consistent, great in the run game, great in pass protection, and the crazy thing with Olu is, what is he, 21?
Yes.
He's just learning how to play. He's got this unreal talent that is translating to dominance at the college level, and certainly he's going to the NFL. He hasn't made a decision to my knowledge yet, unless it happened in the last half hour. But certainly to my knowledge, he's going to be the top tackle taken, and should be. And I think he should be the top player taken in the draft. Now, whether he plays in the bowl game or not, I don't know. I think he's a little different because he didn't play in the bowl game last year. Not that that matters. I think in this day and age where, I don't think Olu's going to, in 15 years when he's an all-pro and, his career is over, hopefully looking back and saying, I really wish I played in the Rose Bowl or the Peach Bowl. But I don't know that it's not a factor either. So I think it'll be interesting to see. And the one thing, and you know it as well as I do, players at Penn State seem to play the bowl game at a higher rate, these prospect types, more than they do at other schools.
Yes.
So I think that, however James Franklin and the staff kind of sell them on the benefits of that, he does a great job of it, where they don't even try or aren't as successful in other places. So maybe Olu gives it a shot. I think there's a couple of guys who will maybe consider playing in the game that you would think could consider opting out.
What do you think of this matchup and this game, the way it ended up playing out with the Peach Bowl?
I think it's a somewhat dangerous matchup for Penn State, in the sense that I think Ole Miss is better than the public thinks it is. They have a really good running back. Judkins is a terrific
yes,
running back.
He
didn't have as good a year this year as he did.
Yes.
Yeah, last year he had a better statistical season, but he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Jackson Dart is tremendous. I think he's going to be one of the two or three best quarterbacks they'll have seen all year. Might be a little bit of McCarthy. They're a better team than people think, but they're coming in ranked a little lower than Penn State. It's not like you're playing Oklahoma, where it's a blue blood, and you think even if Oklahoma's a little down, you've accomplished something. You've beaten Oklahoma. But I think this is, or certainly Georgia, other schools like that, that it could have played in this if the standings were a little different than they are right now. But, you know, if you look at Ole Miss and what they're all about, I think it's a very good contrast of style. I think it'll be an entertaining game. You know, a really great defense against a really terrific offense. But I think, you know, the general mindset of this from Penn State fans will be Penn State should win this game. And I think they should, but just keep in mind, this is a SEC team coming into a bowl game, and they're going to be pretty close to full strength. I mean, they're not going to lose all that much. Lane Kiffin said as much at the press conference on Sunday, and if you look at it, I mean, they haven't really lost a ton. It's very rare these days where you get a full strength SEC team in a New Year's Six game. But I think Penn State is going to get one, and I think it's going to be a really good challenge because like Penn State outside of Chop will be as close to full strength as you can expect them to be. And you know, Chop makes a big difference, but that's certainly a deep position too. So I think this is going to be of the New Year's Six games, I think this is the most fun matchup outside of the playoff.
Yeah, no, it there's no question. And yeah, it's interesting because that team, Ole Miss, is really built on the transfer portal. 21 of the 25, top 25 guys on defense, 21 of them are transfers. 14 of their top 25 on offense are transfers. So Lane Kiffin has used the portal over and over and over again.
It's really going to be interesting to, in 10 years, I think, go back and look at how different programs use them. Because, you know, I like the way Penn State uses it.
Me too.
They use it at certain positions, and I really think the way to use it, kicker and punter every year, just go get your kicker and punter out of the portal. I think that's really smart. I think that's the way they do it. Get your backup, get your rotational pieces on both lines out of the portal. Penn State's done that. If you're looking for number one receivers out of the portal, sometimes you're going to hit, sometimes you're going to miss. And I think when you look at Ole Miss, and a good example is Michigan State. I mean, the first year out, they hit home runs out of the portal. Kenneth Walker, a lot of different guys like that.
True.
And they were great. They haven't hit out of the portal since. And I think Michigan State, Ole Miss is in one of those spots where they've hit out of the portal. So I think everyone's going to have a different portal mindset as this thing gets more established. But Kiffin is a guy who, number one, he's a weird guy in the sense that he's kind of got this professional mindset about it because his dad was such a big-time assistant coach in the pros. So I think he knows how to build teams in ways that on untraditional ways here that some college coaches won't. So I think Kiffin makes that a dangerous spot. And this is a team, Ole Miss, that, you know, right now they're kind of just a sleeper here, but I think that's when you talk about the 12-team playoff, I think that's another team that's benefited by that.
Yeah. Well, they would have been in. They'd be getting ready for Georgia. Penn State be getting ready for Ohio State. How interested are you?
That'd be a fun one.
Yes. Yeah, it would. How interested are you to spend a few days listening to Lane Kiffin and to cover him? Because that's something none of us have had a chance to do. How interested are you in that part?
Surprisingly, very. a couple of buddies of mine. I actually have a buddy who does radio at Kentucky, and most of the year he talks. He'll send me a lot of stuff. Hey, did you hear what Kiffin said this time about whatever? And you know, it's once a month I get a Lane Kiffin text. So I'm intrigued to see about him. And that's something I think that, you know, I don't necessarily write about the coaches so often, but I do like to see what they're all about because they're the consistent part of these programs, right? I mean, when you think of Ole Miss, you think of Lane Kiffin first and foremost. And that was the two teams I really wanted to see in a bowl matchup just based on who the head coach was either Missouri with Drinkwitz, because he's kind of a character too.
Yep.
And definitely Ole Miss with Kiffin, because yeah, who knows? I mean, it's not like Penn State's going to play Ole Miss. Yeah. Every year, maybe once every 10 years, if they run into each other in a tournament, then yeah, you can see that. But I think it'll be really fun to see what he's all about and kind of get to know him a little bit better, because he is fun. I mean, he's not everybody's cup of tea, especially in the SEC, but he is a fun guy for the game, and I kind of think I like characters, so I'm looking forward to Lane a little bit.
In the end, we know how it played out with the four teams in the playoff. The bottom line is they were supposed to start the 12-team playoff this year, but that fraud alliance, that's my word, Donnie, that Warren and Phillips and Kliavkov formed without a signed contract delayed it. So the ACC commissioner is a part of the delay. How do you think in the end, did they make the right four choices?
Yeah, it depends on – I mean, look, it doesn't – this is one of those things I tell everybody this. It doesn't matter what I think, because, I mean, when does it really matter what any one person thinks? But the rules are the rules, and it says nowhere in there in the bylaws of the College Football Playoff Committee do you take the four most deserving teams. Because if so, Penn State would have been in the tournament 7 years ago. I mean, and I think everybody kind of understands that. What you have here is take the four best teams. And there's a very narrow list of things that everybody knows about that they have to consider. And strength of schedule is one of them. And head-to-head matchups is one of them. And conference championships is one of them. And Florida State, on strength of schedule, was 55th. And Alabama was ninth or something like that, and you're not. I'm sorry to say this to Florida State, but I don't know what they expected. Well, right. Do you expect them to leave the SEC out because they beat Louisville by 10 points in the ACC championship game? No, they're not leaving the SEC out. They're not leaving Michigan out, and they're not leaving Washington out. Washington's a very exciting team, so they're just not doing any of that. So it's basically one spot for everybody else. And I put on Twitter on Saturday before the game, they have to be really, really impressive to make this tournament. And I got a lot of blowback on it, but right. They did. They had to be really impressive offensively with a backup quarterback. They had to show that kid could win, and they didn't. And I think it stinks for Florida State. But look at it this way. They knew there was five conferences. They're the Power Five. It says right in the title, Power Five. But there's only four spots. And they do this so they can manipulate it a little bit. It's just the way of the world. I mean, they want to – ratings do matter. And I'm not saying I think ESPN had anything to do with it. I think they got the four, quote-unquote, best teams. I don't think they got the four most deserving teams, but they got the four best. And that's really what they're charged with. Now, do I wish the SEC got left out? Yes, because I think that would have been – a pretty good story to follow, and it would have been funny. But I don't think I could sit here and make a good argument that Florida State with a backup quarterback was going to beat Alabama. And also, at that same note, if Jordan Travis doesn't get hurt, do I think Florida State's going to make the field? Yes, I think Alabama's out at that point. I think the committee, whether you agree with them or not, is consistently inconsistent in a way where they get the four teams that I think the majority of the people think are the four best, whether that's a painful decision or not. I think it just happened to be a painful decision this year because Florida State had a legitimate claim, and the SEC champion had one loss. But, you know, it was a different kind of year. I mean, very few people talking about this, but Georgia was the number one seed going to the weekend, and they didn't make the tournament. And I don't, not that I think they should have, but that's the first time ever that happened, that right. Somebody went in at number one into the right. into the championship weekend and didn't make the field. So I think a lot of different things happened because it was so close to the top, and there's really not a clear number one team. I think everybody, you ask 100 people, and you're going to get maybe 25 people saying each of those four teams could win the tournament. I think it was a little bit just of a different year, and hey, it's the last year of it, too, until next year when the number 13 and 14 teams start complaining.
The only part of that answer that hurt was the part that we can give opinions and nobody should care. Right? Jeez, Donnie, this entire show's built on that.
Yeah, that's a career with opinions. That, as James says to me, opinions you state as facts, And now I just go and blow the cover on it, I know.
Because I've said that for a long time. It says, you know what, people can disagree with what I think. That's fine. I don't worry about stuff like that. They're just opinions. Hey, Donnie, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
All right, Steve, no problem. We'll see you.
The outstanding Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.